Will they find a home? Sponsored by GEICO. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at GEICO.com.
Time now for another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. You know, we get you to work every morning on the Bob and Tom Show. Now every afternoon at 3, we're going to post a little extra for you to get you laughing on your way home or whenever you download this thing. On the big show this morning from CBS This Morning, it's Mo Rocca.
And now, another edition of Tuckered Out. Thanksgiving memories from the road with the over-the-road trucker, Floyd Tucker.
Hey, fellas. You know, most years I don't even make it home for Thanksgiving, but I still enjoy home-cooked suppers around the holidays. Tudor's Biscuit World off I-64 in Charleston, West Virginia is my favorite stop. Every biscuit that's born is made from scratch, and they keep rice in them salt shakers so it won't clump on you. Them breakfast burritos are a dashboard delight. If I do Thanksgiving on the go, I'll just say grace and have one of them. But the last Thanksgiving I had at home was 3 years ago. Oh. I was down in my back, took almost 4 weeks off the road that year. Big D and my first wife decided we'd commence to having dinner over at her mother's. Her mother's doing better now, but not then. She always makes the best desserts, of course. This time, she'd made 2 full pans of something she calls the next best thing to Robert Redford. Son, it's so rich, you'll think you died and went straight to heaven. And she insisted we eat dessert first on account her freezer was out and there was no good way to keep it chilled. She made 2 big helpings in a microwave-safe dish. It said John Hopkins on the side of it. I don't know who he is, but all of his cookware kind of shaped like bedpans. Her dessert didn't taste the same that year. I reckon she didn't use enough shortening. That's when I said Robert Redford's seen better days, and this dessert has too. Then it was on to supper. Well, like most families, we're big on tradition. So we all gathered around the table, Indian style, just like the Pilgrims did. Uh-huh. Big D made enough cornbread casserole that year to feed an offensive line. We had everything. All the sides, mashed taters, chicken fingers, and bagel bites. Them bagel bites are something else. About the size of a hockey puck, it tastes just like pizza. I remember my mother-in-law couldn't pass the gravy on the county carnal tunnel was acted up. But I found out ketchup goes good with cornbread. About that time, my heating pad shorted out the fuse box, so I went downstairs to change the fuse and noticed there was still a whole mess of green beans on the stove. So I brought the whole pot of beans back upstairs, and we dove into the beans, which had plenty of seasoning this year. I found bacon and a breathe right strip in mine. Figured my mother-in-law's sinus infection was acting up again. She wears Under Armour to help her circulation, but her cholesterol's higher than mine is. She told me I should start eating them Go-Gurts to help my cholesterol. Thing about Go-Gurts is, it may help your cholesterol, but I had one hell of a time getting my spoon out of that little tube. Whoever designed that needs to go straight to hell. Stupid buzzard. That may have been our best Thanksgiving ever. Same year, my Uncle Ferd lost 9 acres betting on the blue-gray football game. Oh. The next year, I heard tell my mother-in-law really started going downhill. She selected the honey-baked ham with Vicks Vapor Rub. All of my in-laws spent that whole night in the emergency room in that Jewish hospital. It was quite a night. We watched the Cowboys win and then met some lady with a tilted uterus. Hell, that ain't half as bad as next year when she served up deep-fried Billy Bass. You'd think it wouldn't work, but they salvaged most of it. Mm-hmm. And even though it won't sing the classics anymore, the head still wiggles a little bit. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. I'm Floyd Tucker, and I'm Tuckered Out.
We know what you need. Here's another healthy dose of Bob and Tom Extra.
I believe we're joined on the phone by Mo Rocca. Hey, Mo, can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
It's great talking to you, Mo. I got to tell you, I am such a fan of the Mobituary. My favorite is the Vaughn Meter Mobituary, and I will let you explain what I'm talking about, if you don't mind, please.
All right, so Vaughn Meter was crazy, wildly famous, household name for many years, well, not for many years, sorry, for a few years during the John F. Kennedy administration, because he was a stand-up comic. He wasn't a great comic, but he did an uncanny impersonation of President Kennedy. And this was at a time when comedy albums were new. Bob Newhart was really one of the first big comedy albums. It had won Grammy of the Year, the album of the year overall. But the next year, this album, The First Family, came out, and it became the biggest selling album of all time up to that point. And it was a parody of the Kennedy family, kind of like an SNL spoof. Mm-hmm. If you hear it today, it still holds up. But Von Meter was playing President Kennedy, and he was just everywhere. And then when President Kennedy was murdered on November 22nd, 1963, Von Meter's career died. And he lived another 40 years, but it was kind of a crazy life where he was a living reminder of this horrible thing that had happened. He was pretty much shunned. Yeah. And we at CBS News, where I work, found a tape in the archives of him shortly before he died. He died in 2004, basically telling the story of his life and how freakish it was to go from being unknown to suddenly becoming incredibly famous to then disappearing, basically, yeah. Like no one wanting anything to do with him.
And I'm trying to remember the exact, because the podcast is great, and the podcast is called Mobituaries, and I know the new season's out. And there's a brand new book, which we'll get to in just a second. Yeah. Am I correct in saying was he in Minnesota or something in a cab when he found out that the president had been...
He was in Milwaukee. He was in a cab he arrived in Milwaukee on November 22nd, 1963, going to do a gig, I think at like a Wisconsin Democratic Club or something. And the cab driver said, "Did you hear about Kennedy getting killed?" And he thought, he was used to people telling him really dumb jokes all the time. And the weird thing, and then he basically went back to his hotel room, got drunk, then got on a plane to go back to New York, and he stayed drunk for weeks. The weird thing is he'd become incredibly famous in a short amount of time, and he was already sick of doing the Kennedy act. So kind of like a lot of people who get famous and then don't want to be known for the thing that got them famous, and he was that guy.
Yeah, there's also a famous, I'm trying to remember, was it Lenny Bruce at Carnegie Hall?
Yep, it sure was.
Uh-huh. What was the story there?
So Lenny Bruce, obviously the great comic, and it may have happened again at Carnegie Hall, but I think the day after the assassination, went up on stage in Greenwich Village, I think it was at first, and he said, "I'm not allowed to drop an F-bomb on this show, I guess, but you can fill in the blank." He said, "Boy, did Von Meter get..." Mm-hmm. Fill in the blank. And the crowd, I mean, imagine 1963 and people traumatized, and even in sort of an edgy downtown Manhattan club, people were still shocked that Lenny Bruce said it, but they also laughed because he really captured what a lot of people were thinking at the time, because that was, I mean, Von Meter was so well known, and this album was so beloved. And when we did this podcast and it came out, I heard from a lot of people, it was really poignant, that who said, my family listened to that album, and after Kennedy was murdered, my father put that album away and we never played it again. Or my father took that album and broke it over his knee, snapped it, that album over his knee. And people were that devastated.
Yeah, I can still remember some of the jokes from that album. And it was a very exaggerated Kennedy. It was, "Good night, Jackie." And one of the jokes was the president going, "Good night, Jackie." And they're saying good night to the kids. And all of a sudden they're in the same bed. He goes, "And good night, Bobby. Good night."
Right.
The whole family was there.
It was. But no, it really, as Mo says, it holds up. We're speaking with Mo Rocca. And Mo wears about 50 different hats. Author now of The Mobituaries. And I want to ask you about one more of those. But you've also got shows that are for other purposes on CBS, including kid shows and all kinds of things going on in your life.
Yeah, and I host America's Most Wanted. No, I'm kidding. I don't do that.
I'd watch it if you did, though. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I do a bunch of different things. I do a show about called Innovation Nation on Saturday mornings about famous inventions. It's all good. But I love doing these obituaries. I mean, dead people are really easy to deal with. I have to tell you that they don't have publicists, and you know.
And I should point out that, for example, in the Von Meter in the podcast, there's lots of different voices. You guys really went out of your way to get a lot of people talking about it. I want to ask you about another series of them involving what the unfortunate event in which the star of a television show dies, and we've all seen this, and then they make an effort to sometimes continue the show without that person.
Well, right. I mean, this was really largely about the dead and disappeared sitcom characters, and it's a medical phenomenon known as the Chuck Cunningham syndrome. On Happy Days, Richie Cunningham, Ron Howard's character, for the first two seasons had an older brother named Chuck who was known primarily for eating a sandwich and dribbling a basketball. I think in one episode he did both at the same time. And this was when the Fonz, Henry Winkler's character, wore ABC forced him to wear a tan windbreaker because, if you can believe it, they thought that a black leather jacket would be too menacing, too much like Marlon Brando in The Wild One. But then what happened was the Fonz became so popular, and it became so obvious that Richie Cunningham would go to the Fonz for advice on dating and everything else because, you know, he's got the Fonz living in the garage out back. So the older brother character became extraneous, superfluous, and so Gary Marshall, the legendary creator of Happy Days, said there was really no choice but to vaporize Chuck, to just disappear him, to just rub him out. Basically, they didn't bother to have him go off to the military or go off to college. They just had Chuck go upstairs and never come down. And so they it's really like what happens in like former dictatorships behind the Iron Curtain, like the sitcom Stasi just came and took him away. And this happens over and over again, things like this, like people of a certain age remember the case of the two Darrens on Bewitched,
sure.
Which, I mean, really has haunted a whole generation, and where you had two actors, to make things even more complicated, both named Dick, playing the character of Darren. And everybody knows that the first Dick was better, Dick York, who was like really Jim Carrey funny. He was really kind of a great comic actor, but he developed a drug dependency, so he was replaced by Dick Sargent. And it turned out that, you know, you really never forget your first Darren, because audiences fled after Dick Sargent just wasn't as good as Dick York.
You can read about this sort of thing in Mo Rocca's new book called Mobituaries, and of course there are also podcasts. Now, am I correct in saying there's a new season of podcasts that has either just
there is? The new season started a few weeks ago, and we started with Billy Carter, the younger brother Jimmy Carter, and which is a great story. And I'm going to be in Atlanta today at the Jimmy Carter Center talking about him. So I talked to President Jimmy Carter and to Billy's family about him. And Billy, if you were around in the 70s, you remember Billy Beer.
Of course.
Which was Dan Rather, who covered Billy Carter, told me it was so bad even the dogs wouldn't drink it. I mean, it was really a lousy beer. And Billy Carter was this really famous, wacky character. He would go on Hee Haw. He would do big belly flop contests. And at first I think he kind of helped his older brother because I think Jimmy Carter, was like a Boy Scout, basically, right? And he'd been in the Naval Academy. He didn't drink. And Billy was kind of the good old boy to Jimmy's Boy Scout. And he drank and he smoked, and he was a pretty wild character. And then he started, then he got involved, as people do, with representatives of the government of Libya. And he got his older brother. It was the ultimate little brother screwing things up for the older brother. And Jimmy Carter, towards the end of his first and only term, things were falling apart. The economy was in a spiral. hostages were in Iran, you know, and Jimmy Carter was being challenged for renomination. And in the middle of that, he had to give a one-hour primetime news conference explaining to the nation why his little brother was meddling in the Middle East. So, but the story is a really is kind of a great one because it turns out that Billy was, you know, a funny, hardworking, complicated guy. And in the middle of that whole Libya mess, he admitted he was an alcoholic, and he spent the last proud chapter of his life crisscrossing the country, talking to people who could relate to him about what it was about their own struggles with alcoholism. So I wanted to tell the full story, and he seemed ultimately like a really decent guy. And he and Jimmy Carter said, "Look, my little brother had ten times as many friends as I did, and he really meant it." So.
Oh, we're talking with Mo Rocca. Mo's new book is called Mobituaries. He's also got a podcast series out there. And now, Mo, you do so many different things. When you go on television, do you ever go on live? Are you on like Sunday morning and stuff? Is that?
I posted a few times, and that's basically live. I mean, it's pre-taped a little bit. Sure, I've definitely done a bunch of live to tape, and then when I go on the weekday morning show, on any of those shows, that's live, and it's definitely a different.
You get. I was just going to say, do you get nervous?
I used to, believe it or not, the time I would get the most nervous. Wasn't doing the Daily Show because that was, you know, before a live audience. But if you really messed it up, you could redo it. But actually, I used to go on the Today Show, and they'd have me go on to do bits about dopey reality shows, like to talk to them about it. And that would make me – I could actually hear my heart beating. I would get – because, you know, you want to – I mean, you know this. If you're a couple words off – like I am right now, but if you're a couple words off, the joke doesn't land, and it's and so that I would find nerve wracking because there were no retakes.
Yeah, you do so many different things, and I want to urge everyone to check out the book Mobituaries, and the podcasts are really well done, and it's just exciting to hear about these lives of people that were kind of in some cases just footnotes.
Yeah, I did the podcast episode we released last week was about. Thomas Paine, the founding father, who really basically rallied. I mean, he was the guy that explained why we should rebel against the crown, and he wrote Common Sense, which, based on the population then, is the highest-selling publication in American history. That basically said, here's why we should be Americans and not colonists, and then, so he had this huge success, is incredibly important, and then only six people showed up at his funeral. And his obituary at the time read, he had done some good, he had lived long, done some good, and much harm. And that was pretty much it. And it turned out he had just a really, really terrible personality. And he's the guy who, you know, when you go to dinner, only wants to talk about the issues and won't ever give it a break. And, I mean, I think he drove the other founding fathers nuts.
See, today he'd have a talk show on AM radio.
There you go. You know, he probably would, and he could just go on and on and on. But we restaged his funeral, and I had a couple friends of mine who are Tony-nominated Broadway songwriters write a song for him, and my old friend Lewis Black came and did a roast of him, and so we basically gave him the funeral he deserved, and I think it was pretty good, and that's in that episode of the podcast.
Thanks. Before we let you go, Mo, you are something of a foodie. I think it's fair to say. Do any Thanksgiving tips or things to avoid or things you're going to be doing?
Things to avoid. Gosh, other than relatives? No, no, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. Really, no. I like leftovers because I think I like the way they taste the next day. So I would just celebrate a day later and just grab the leftovers of your neighbor and make that your dinner the next day. Just celebrate a day later.
Okay, good idea. Mo Rocca, and the book is called Mobituaries. Thanks so much for your time, Mo.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
There's today's edition of the Bob and Tom Extra for you. Make sure you catch us every weekday afternoon at 3. You can catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For the Bob and Tom Show, this is Christopher speaking. Have a great one.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I, Megan Klingenberg, a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.